if I get a bit passionate this afternoon, I'm not getting at you. Please don't think I am. But I get so caught up and excited with God's word that sometimes people misunderstand me and think I'm being very dogmatic. And I don't want to come over that way. I want to just encourage us today, because there is a way that we can overcome by following God's word. And we all know when you look, apparently when we talk about creation, when God created the world, before he set about it, it was all darkness, it was all chaos, there was nothing to be seen, nothing visible, it was just a mess. But God created order out of disorder. And in that creation, because he created it after himself, God is a God of order. And God works within parameters. He can go out of them, but as far as the world and the earth is concerned, he works within certain parameters. And he puts natural laws in the universe by which the universe has to... the great inventors, they've... was it Newton who saw what gravity was? He understood by an apple falling from a tree. Well, why does it fall and hit the ground? Why doesn't it float off? And from that, from his curious mind, he went on and on and on and found gravity. But God created gravity. We just discovered it. We can't create anything like that. And then when you look at electricity, that has to work within certain parameters. I believe copper is the conductor for electricity. You can't get plastic to conduct electricity. It will just burn it up. And so you need to follow the laws that God, the natural laws that God put in place, if you want to harness the energy and the benefits of all of the creation that God has given to us. And it took years for electricity to be discovered, to be harnessed, so that Edison made the light bulb. And then, wow, we've gone on from there. But these were men who discovered God's natural laws. And then, if you want to fly, if you want to fly a plane, well, how do we do that? Well, we studied the birds, and we understood how they get the wings out, and the shape of the wings, and the little tips on the ends, and that gives you lift, and all these things, all these amazing things that God made within these parameters of these laws that we must follow if we are to be successful and if we are to harness the benefits that he has placed out there for our advancement and for our comfort and for our future and for our success. And in the same way that God invented natural laws, he's also put spiritual laws in place. Now, if you're born again, you will recognise a lot of these spiritual laws. You've only got to read through Proverbs, and every other verse, it's all about spiritual laws. If you do this, you'll get that. If you do this, you'll get that. And God is always giving us instruction. You know, there's a law on sowing and reaping. How does a farmer gain a crop? He has to sow some seed, some good seed. He has to be quite plenteous with his seed, not stingy. If he's stingy with his seed, he gets a stingy crop. And God said to us, if you want to be wealthy, if you want me to look after you, then you need to give me something to work with. You need to sow some good seed into the soil of the kingdom of God, and I'll return it to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said in Malachi, doesn't he? He said, test me in this. You tithe, you give to me a certain percentage, and watch me. Will I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing such as you can't contain? I tell you, God is faithful, and he works within those spiritual laws, and he expects us to also walk and work within those spiritual laws. And I looked at our favourite verse, the verse that just typifies Harvest Fields. Matthew 6 verse, come on there, 33. Don't ever forget that, because it's foundational, it's principal to our success. What is it? Seek ye, let's all say it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his, oh, seek the king of the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That works. John can testify to it, I'm sure. Andrew can, I can, Daniel can, many of us can. We know that when we seek God, he just takes care of everything else. And that is just, he amazes me. Because where that verse is found in Matthew, it's talking about, well, you know, we worry about clothes, we worry about food, we worry about all these natural things, we get anxious about things, and we store up treasures here on earth. And God is saying, why do you worry about temporal things like this? I've taken care of all that stuff. Just trust me. Just seek me. Put me first. Be hungry. Be passionate about me. Run after me. Get into relationship with me. And don't worry about any of that. I'll see that it's all taken care of. And I can testify today that God is faithful to all of that. He takes care of it. Don't you worry about a thing. It's sorted. And John 15, abiding in the vine. Wow. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and I'll give it to you. Let's have a look at John 15, verses 4-7. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, those plants could not have been as beautiful as what they are unless they abided in the plant. But cut off, they will wither and die. I am the vine and you are the branches. We're an extension of Jesus. Do you know that? Everything Jesus is, you are. Because you're just limbs from the same vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can't do anything. We're hopeless without God. We have no life within us without him. Whoever doesn't abide in me is thrown away like a branch and it withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. I love that. God says, just connect with me. Just read the word. Just let it fill your whole body, mind, and spirit. And flow with me. We're in for an exciting ride. Come on, your love thrills you, young people. There's nothing more thrilling than being connected to the vine. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds tomorrow. You know he's got good plans for you. You don't know what those plans are, but he will reveal them as the day goes on. We need to learn to trust him. So, these are spiritual laws that we need to abide by if we want the best in life. There's also another spiritual law, and this is the one I want to focus on today, and it's really, really important. It's in Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I think the Bible says you are snared by your words. How many times, I know I have, I've snared myself by my words. And words are something that cannot be taken back. Sometimes, you know, you just let it out in the heat of the moment, or you're running with your emotions instead of running by the Spirit of God. and all this rubbish comes out, and you want to, too late. It's gone. You've spoken it into being. And how did God create the world? He spoke it. And your words in your mouth are as powerful as God's words in his mouth. And I don't condemn anybody here. I've done it. I've been there. But it's something that we keep needing to be reminded of, the power of our words. I think I've got over the saying too many negative things. I think we're brought up in a negative atmosphere quite often. The world is very negative. Oh, I suppose this will happen. And, you know, it always rains every bank holiday. And then when the bank holiday comes, we say, see, it's raining again. Well, what did you expect? You were expecting rain, you spoke rain, you got rain. You know, we need to wise up. We need to speak positive words. Yes, stuff's happening, but we don't need to focus on it and relate it and pass it on. We need to look for the positive. Look for what God says and begin to change our destiny. There used to be a book that we used to sell in the 80s. What you say is what you get. And that is so true. We need to say good things. If we want good things, sowing and reaping. You sow negative statements, you'll reap it. You sow positive statements, you'll reap it. You want to be a lawyer? You want to be somebody? You've got a career? You've got something in mind? Then there you need to be saying, I am going to do this. God is going to make a way. He gives me the desires of my heart. I will succeed. They're positive things. We need to be speaking those positive things and not the negative, not what we see. What you see is not what's real. What you see is misleading. And we're so creatures of what we see. Interesting, Ken's been talking about scientists. But scientists have discovered, after all this time, that part of our brain is speech activated. Interesting. You say, I am tired, and the body starts to prepare, the brain starts to prepare the body for rest. Uh-oh. What you say is what you get. If you say, and I keep asking Sia, and I say to him, how are you, Sia? And he says to me, I am well. And I think, I'll agree with that. I am well. Well, when he says that, your brain releases endorphins throughout your body, and endorphins energize you. So when you can't, when you're tired, let's not say I'm tired. Let's say what God says. He renews my youth like the eagles. He gives me strength. My God, He's there to energise me. And the brain will respond to positive confessions. Mark 11, starts at verse 12. Mark 11. This is the story of the fig tree. Verse 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to the tree, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. That's a bit misleading. Apparently when the fig tree's got leaves on it, it should also have fruit. The two come together. But it only had leaves, it had no figs. So Jesus said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. And then if we go down to verse 20, it said, next morning, 24 hours later, as they passed by, they saw that the fig tree had withered, and it withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed, it's withered. And Jesus said to him, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whatever you say, abide in me, ask whatever you will, I'll do it for you. We need to stay connected to the vine. We need to live and breathe within that vine. And Jesus said, speak to the mountain. It was interesting to see that in that part, in that story, that it took 24 hours for them to the tree to be visibly dead. And that is something else that the devil will put you off with. If you build up your faith and you're going for it and you speak it out and nothing happens visibly, what do we do? Oh, it's not happened. Don't work. 24 hours. Immediately Jesus spoke to that tree, the process began and it started to wither. But it took 24 hours before it could be seen with the natural eye. Let's not be put off by what is unseen. Let's focus, let's stay in faith. Jesus said, if you believe, if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe what you have said will come to pass, it will come to pass. Don't ever doubt it. God said his word will not return to him void. If he's given you a word, if he's spoken you a promise and you're believing it and speaking it out, you have started the process. Don't quit before you see the answer. Amen. We have a problem. This. It rattles on. You shoot your mouth off. It seems that it's just uncontrollable, and James says it is. James chapter 3. We let our mouth run. Proverbs says, a fool is heard for his much speaking. A wise man, he listens, takes notice, and says little. James 3, we're going to read verses 3 to 6. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set on fire by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body. It sets on fire the cycle of nature and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. James had very little good to say about the tongue. It's small, yet it's mighty. And so often, if we don't get this under control, it will steer us in the wrong direction. It will take you down a road you don't want to go, and it will bring destruction. And I always remember a very dear friend of ours used to say, I'm digging the grave with my teeth. And in the end, he did. He dug his grave with his teeth. In other words, the rubbish he ate and the amount of food he ate, that became the reason for his demise. And I thought, how true. And he acknowledged it some years before he died. He said, I've stopped saying that because I'm beginning to see that it's true. We need to be so careful with what we say. So what's the answer? There is an answer. There's always an answer where God is concerned. He will never leave you floundering. So let's have a look at Luke. Luke chapter 6. And verse 45. The last part of that verse. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Whatever's in your heart will come out of your mouth. So if you want to speak good things, you need to sow good things into your heart. And the best thing you can ever sow into your heart is the Word of God, because that's full of good things, full of positive things. And it's the good things that will come out of your mouth. Out of the mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our heart has to be established on what God says. No doubt about it. If your heart is established on what God says, you will have victory over every situation. How do we do this? Well, your heart, in your heart, you need to know that you know who you are, what God says about you, and everything to do with your destiny. And in Romans 1 and verse 6, here Paul says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That is an anchor for us, because salvation covers a whole, source of our life, really. Because salvation covers forgiveness, it covers health, it covers deliverance, it covers provision, it covers protection. And if you look up that word, I think it's sozo. If you look it up in your Hebrew Greek, it says all the blessings of God have been given to us. Have been given to us. So when you accepted Christ as your personal saviour, not only were you just forgiven, at that point you received health and freedom and deliverance and provision and protection. They all came in the one package within you. Everything, every one of those blessings are within you. And what we need to do is to focus on what's inside us. In other words, you're as much healed as you are forgiven. Have we got that? Everybody so easily accepts, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. Yes, and we rejoice and we shout. And then, can we do the same about, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm, oh, but my joints are stiff. Oh, but this, oh, but that. And God said, no, you have divine health in your body. When you were saved, I gave you divine health. I gave you forgiveness. I gave you provision. I gave you protection. I gave you everything that you would need for life and godliness. It's in that seed, that incorruptible seed that indwells you. You need to draw on that. And so why am I feeling sick? So why is stuff coming against me? So why isn't everything in my world perfect? Because the devil is out there and he wants to put you off by anything he possibly can. And he will use what you see, what you feel, he'll use your senses to throw you off guard and to destroy the word of God in you. Isaiah 53, looking towards the cross, Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, looking back at the cross, he says, by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. It's finished. It's done. You are healthy, and the devil is trying to steal your health from you. And the word of God says, that the devil comes. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. The devil, in the first part of that verse, says the devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his plan. Now, if we're going to be creatures of what we see and not creatures of what the Word of God says, if the Word of God is not established in our hearts, if we don't know everything that came to us when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, if we don't know that he gave us health, he gave us wholeness, he gave us provision, protection, as well as forgiveness, then the devil is going to come along and con us and tell us, you're not healed, you've got problems, there's mountains in front of you. Well, what did Jesus say about the mountain? Speak to it. You've got authority. You tell it. Get out of my way. I am healed and you're not taking it off me. You're not resisting me. You are not standing in my path. I am coming through. You might be a fact, but you're not the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. Jesus is the truth, and the truth will set me free. So I'm not accepting the facts. I'm going for the truth. Amen? James 4 and verse 7. Very clear. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil's not the problem. We need to resist. We need to stand on the Word of God. We need to speak the Word of God. And the devil will flee. You speak to him. Who's the greater one? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do we believe it? I do. God, we used to have a little card, and I've not seen it for a while, a little giveaway card at work, and it said, the power that stands against you is nothing compared to the power that's within you. Woo! Woo, woo, woo! Amen? God in me is greater than that mountain that stood in front of me. So, if I speak to that mountain's got to move. It can't resist me. Because it's not me, it's God in me. And sometimes, when stuff's happening to you, you've got to stop and you've got to say, just a minute, is this mountain bigger than God? Is this mountain bigger than God? So why am I allowing it to stay there? Jesus said, you speak, when he was at the fig tree, he said, you speak to that mountain and it will move. You speak to that sickness. And hey, I'm not condemning anybody here because I've done it and I still get trapped with it. But if we're going to speak about the mountain instead of to the mountain, we're going to negate our prayers. We're going to negate our faith. If we're saying, well, I'm bad, I feel bad, things are not going good. If we talk and confess the negatives, then we just totally negate the prayer of faith and we start everything working against us. If you want to be healed, if you want to live a life as an overcomer, if you want to live a life of victory, and I'm speaking to myself, then I have to line up with the laws of God. Just as natural laws you will not get electricity if you don't follow the natural laws. You will not get your miracle if you do not follow the spiritual laws. And the spiritual laws are, you'll get what you say. Now, I don't want to negate my faith. I want to go for everything God's got for me. Because the devil slowly, especially as you get older, he slowly eats away at things. And you know, there's this joke that if you've got people in church who've been there for donkey's years and the piano's always been at that side of the platform, and you decide you want to put it at that side of the platform, you've got to move it an inch a week so that they don't notice. And that's what the devil does. He tries to erode, just very slowly, he starts to erode our lifestyle. And I've come to a decision. I don't want to live as I get older with restrictions on my life. God never intended that. God intended me to live a long and a satisfied life. Psalm 91. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Edwin was rejoicing on the positive when he came in today. And I thank God for people who will look at the positive and go for what God says. You know, Moses wrote Psalm 91. And he lived a long life. He tested and he trusted God, and God tested him, and he was the friend of God. Wow, what a relationship he had, and what a wonderful, he had many, many challenges, but boy, was his outcome good. It was. He climbed the mountain when God took him, as he was going towards heaven. He went and he climbed a mountain, and God took him when he got to the top of the mountain. Well, I think it was he 110 or 120? You've got to be pretty fit to climb a mountain. I know that from the other week. Amen. So, I just want to look quickly at one in Zechariah. I was reading this when I was away, and it always blesses me. But Zechariah chapter 4, I think it is, verses 6 and 7. Here we're looking at Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the ruler in Judah. And he was going to rebuild the temple. And if there's one thing the devil doesn't want to happen, it's you to rebuild the temple of God and to do stuff for the kingdom of God. And things weren't going good. And then he got the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord said to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring out the top stone amid shouts of grace, the power of God. Grace, the power of God. Speak grace to it, and it will come out. That top stone will come and the rest of it will fall. It didn't say it would disappear instantly. And here we may have another 24-hour situation. But as soon as you speak, Zerubbabel, that top stone will come out and the rest of it will fall. It will become a plain. And when I was reading this, the verse 8 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice, and she shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. And I thought God was saying, Grace, 30 years ago you put the foundation down for Harvest Fields. And that mountain that stands against you now is removed and cast into the... Get speaking to it. Get speaking to this paperwork. It needs to go through the system. Let's speak to every blockage. Get out the way. This is our building. God has promised it. It will be. And we're coming through. You are going to be a plane. And we will see it built and established. Amen. Don't be put off. Don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. Speak to your mountain. So, what's your mountain? It's time to speak to your mountain. But don't speak to it until you're established in your heart that you have all the answers. That the greater one is in you than that mountain that's in front of you. Because if you speak to it and you don't know in your heart that the greater one is in you and you have all power and authority, that mountain won't move. So you've got to know that, you know, James said, I can't be double-minded. James 1 and verse 8, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and he won't get anything from God. We've got to know that we know that we know that we know. And the only way we're going to get to know that we know that we know that we know is to find out what's ours. And it's all written down in this book. But just remember, the power that stands against you is nothing compared to the power that lies within you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So, if you don't want the mountain to rule over you, steal from you, intimidate you, it's time to speak to it so that it no longer speaks to you. Amen? Amen. God has destined us to be victors, not victims. The world's mentality is a victim mentality. God has given us all the power and authority that we will ever need. No mountain is ever bigger than God. Don't forget this. Don't focus on sickness. Don't speak about sickness. Don't speak about poverty. Don't speak about lack. Don't speak about negativity. Let's be positive. God is positive. He has all the answers. Go for it. Your mountain will move. Amen.